Thank you so much for tuning in to the Kathy Lee Parker Show. Have you ever wondered what your children may need help in, especially when it comes to math? Math is one of the hardest subjects, or kind of confusing for children and teenagers. Well, with me today, I have Sabrina Nelson, and she has a tutoring school in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I'm going to bring her on board. Sabrina, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. It's so good to have you here.
Me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so how long have you been tutoring?
Well, I'm new to the state of Utah. I've only been in Utah for just a little over 2 years, but I have been teaching and tutoring and running my own math school for coming up on 16 years now.
Wow. 16 years. That's a long time.
It is. And I still love it. I still look forward to finding lessons and teaching them and seeing all my students say, oh, hey, that wasn't so bad. Or, oh, hey, I get it now. It's so great.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about how come you don't teach in public schools? Because your place is adorable.
But, oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I have taught in school before. I taught for a teeny tiny school out in Southern California, which is where I'm from. It was so small that not only was I the only math teacher, but I was also kind of one of the chairmen of the math subject. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got really tired of having to teach to the middle line because I had students that were ready and willing to be more challenged that I couldn't. And then I had students that were needing a little bit of extra help and I couldn't help them either. And it broke my heart to have to just teach to the middle and not have enough time to really pay attention to students individually, which is what I think that most students, they need a little bit of that every now and again. Mm-hmm. So I left the school and I decided that I would just open up my own math school. And I actually had several students from that school kind of pull their kids out and start homeschooling them. Uh-huh. But they would bring them to me for their mathematics. Uh-huh. And that's kind of how my whole private education school got started.
Wow. That's so cool. That's cool. And I remember when I was in, you know, my elementary school, and I always had to ask the teacher, do you have a little bit of time to help me with mm-hmm. my math? You know, would you? And sometimes they do. They'll sit with you after school, or you come in a little early and she goes over the math. I was very lucky. But in my time, we didn't have tutors like we have them today that, you know, kids can get really sharp in tutoring. And
yeah.
So anyway, so tell everybody that you changed a little bit of the name of your company. So
I did. I've recently changed my name. I started out with my name here in Utah under the name of Math Beast Tutoring. Mm-hmm. And it's actually kind of a funny story. It was just a few weeks after I had moved into my new space in Bluffdale and I was setting up. It was warm out. It was still kind of September, October. And where I'm at is kind of a semi-residential, semi-commercial. And there's this, I don't know if he's a college student or a high school student, but there's this young man that lives nearby. And I always see him showing up with a backpack. And then one day I had my front door open and he pulled in with a car, but all of his friends were there in the car with him. And they were just dropping him off at his home, I guess. And all, you know, of course I had my banner out the window with my name, Matthew's Tutoring, that I had since that moment been super proud of. I'm like, yeah, this is great. But I heard as he was getting out of the car, one of his friends yelled out, you know, teenage boys, how they can be sometimes. And he shouted out to his friend, you need tutoring. And I tell you, it broke my heart so much. I was like, that is so mean. How embarrassing. Like, I was a little bit embarrassed. I'm sure the kid was like, shut up, man. You know how teenage boys are. And it was at that moment that I was like, okay, I need to change my name. I have to change it so that it doesn't have anything that would make a student feel like there's something wrong with them because they have to come see me. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm about. And because I teach students who are doing amazing in math and that just need to be pushed a little bit further ahead, just, you know, enrichment, which is where I started to kind of think like, okay, I don't want it to be tutoring because I don't want parents to think that they can stop after their students are doing well or have passed the test or have caught up on their assignments. Yeah, I want them to keep coming to me because there's so much more that I can teach students. Mm-hmm. You know, I love working with students who are struggling, but, you know, the students who are doing well, there's so much more involved just in the general concept of mathematics that they're not going to get in school. And because teachers don't have time to teach to teach towards the kids that are ready to be further challenged. And I can, but I very rarely get to do that because, you know, parents think, oh, you know, my kid's doing good. He can't benefit from anything like that. So I started kind of toying with the words education, enrichment, and I kind of even toyed with elevated for a little while because, you know, Utah, or what is our state mascot, Life Elevated or something like that. Uh-huh. But I ended up coming up with these three words that all start with the letter E. The words are elite, education, enrichment, uh-huh. Which is where the E cubed, you know, E to the power of three has come from. And that I've been really happy with that because I've gotten some parents that are like, yeah, my kid is not struggling in math, but how can we push him further? How can we help him move ahead and really, really feel, have a nice, well-rounded mathematics education? So it's mm-hmm. been really great. I'm still super happy about my new name.
What makes math so important?
Well, in my personal opinion, it's the most fun. but it's really important because it not only involves the entire brain, there's a lot of creativity that is involved in mathematics, but also there's critical thinking and problem solving skills that, although when students grow up, they don't necessarily have to use the formulas that they learn, the specific mathematic formula that they learn, but the critical thinking and problem solving that they have to use to put towards solving certain problems, those are the skills that are going to carry over into everyday life. You know, I got a flat tire, shoot, I got to problem solve, I got to critical think. This giant refrigerator is super heavy, I can't move it, but I'm by myself and I have no choice but to move it. You know, you gotta figure that out. That's problem solving, that's critical thinking. And I never want students to feel like they aren't able to solve something. There's always a way to figure it out.
Sabrina, were you always good at math?
Oh, no, I was not. In elementary school, I thought that math was the worst. Really? It took me forever to finish assignments. 40% of my answers were always incorrect and given back to me. To tell you the truth, you know, in fifth and sixth grade, even up into seventh grade, I thought it was the most pointless and tedious thing that I just had to get through every single day. And it was always I was a big complainer about it. But what I realized was in those lower grades, it was just, you know, the four functions, arithmetic, and, you know, we have a calculator to do that for us. And so it wasn't actually until in the middle of eighth grade and into ninth grade that I realized, I actually have to learn this. There are certain things that the calculator won't do for me. Mm-hmm. And so I have to know this, even if I do use a calculator for certain things.
So
I started paying a little bit.
So tell me, what do you teach? I mean, I know it's math, but it's not 1 + 1 or minuses and multiplications, but I noticed that you can really get into it. And these kids, you know, you get their mind going in other ways with, you know, how you roll a dice or something that you were doing with that. And I thought that is pretty cool.
Yeah. So every session, right, I structure almost every single session with the students in this way. Uh-huh. You start with a warm-up. That's always something fun, usually basic arithmetic addition. And I make the students do it in their head just so they can get into the groove of thinking. Uh-huh. And then after that, we move into some hardcore subjects of whatever they're working on. And if they're traditional school students and they have school assignments that they need help completing, we work on that. And then I tend to pick two or three either concepts from number theory and algebra concepts, depending on the student's age, of course. I'm going to work on those two in addition to their assignment. I usually try to like to relate whatever topic I decide to work on with them to their current schoolwork, so it's applicable and relatable. Mm-hmm. And then we finish with a game, which is I have multiple dice. I actually use the dice that gamers use to play Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. I use those same exact dice. I actually go to like the gaming stores and I pick out these dice that have the printed numbers on them. And they had dice that go up to 12, up to 20, up to 8, up to 10. There's even one that has like actual numbers, 10, 20, 30, 40, all the way up to 90. And it's all just addition, or we'll calculate the averages. Uh-huh. And sometimes I'll pull out the fidget spinner to make it fun. But those are the kind of things that are the confidence boosting. You know, the quicker you're able to add together numbers in your head, you know, most people aren't really able to do that very quickly. Uh-huh. So I like to work on it with my students so that they can be like, oh, hey, I know that answer. That was really fast. And that just makes them feel good about themselves, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. That's but you need math if you want to be an engineer. Do you know that?
If somebody
wants to go into a career of being an engineer, I know they have to have math.
They got to do a lot of math.
And see what else takes a lot of math besides being a math teacher. Is there another field besides engineering?
There's engineering, of course, there's the math teacher, and there's actually a very interesting position in the insurance field, and it's called an actuary. Oh. And they actually will, and that's probably about the highest, most difficult level of mathematics that you can get to, is this actuary. And they have formulas and calculations. And to be perfectly honest, that kind of mathematics is even beyond my capacity. Unfortunately, I would love to get to that point. And I work to try to understand these actuary formulas. But they actually are able to calculate the risk that it will take on a person with insurance. They bring into consideration numerically and algebraically their health, their habits, their age, where they live, even some of their hobbies and their profession into, I mean, it's a little bit kind of morbid because they technically calculate, you know, when is this person probably going to die? How many years can we get out of them without, having to pay out too much, and how healthy they are?
That's pretty sad.
What was that?
That's pretty sad to figure out how you're going to die.
It's a little bit of a jab at the whole insurance industry, which I don't mean to do, but they do employ actuaries that are able to. Of course, it's not 100% accurate, but it's a mathematical formula that they use to kind of try to calculate the risk that they will take to, mm-hmm. Accept and take on a person under their insurance.
Interesting. I find that I even know real estate people too do math. They're always figuring numbers and measurements.
Yeah. Calculating mortgages. Mm-hmm. Accountants.
Yes. Accountant. Yes, we can't forget about the accountant. Yes.
I know, accountants and bookkeepers.
Yes, they gotta have all that latest stuff, and mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. So if somebody is taking a job and need to sharpen up their math skills, Hey, it's okay to get a tutor. It is okay.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And some of my students, even, they just come to me to work on just a few problems within their assignment. And one of them who comes, he literally will just say, hey, I'm pretty sure I did this right. Can you just tell me if I did this right? Mm-hmm. And then all I have to do is look at it. And, you know, for the most part, this kid is super bright. But for the most part, yeah, that's right. And all I have to do is be like, yeah, you got it. Great job. That's amazing.
Oh, so so they'll Zoom you and say, hey, so you got them on a tap, you know what I mean? So the parents pay, you know, hey, got a problem. That is such a good idea. If your kid has an issue, call Sabrina, you know what I mean, with math.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, every new student that I take on, I give them a magnet with my name and, of course, my business name and my phone number on it. And I tell them all, I says, hey, I know that you're going to be meeting with me once a week. But if there's ever a time when, you know, we're 3 or 4 days away from session and you're working on something and you just can't get past, you take your phone, take a picture of it, and send it to me. And I am constantly giving out my personal number to parents who are able to have access to me to ask questions for their students who are struggling on just one or two problems with their assignment. There are some days where, you know, at the end of the day, after I'm done teaching, I'll look and I have, you know, 6 or 7 picture messages of all different types of math problems that I get to sit down and kind of work through and answer and take the students through them step by step on the phone.
Fun.
Text messages and picture messages, and it's a lot of fun for me.
Do you help out at college level too?
I do. I actually just finished with 2 college students who finished their semesters this week. One of them was at Salt Lake Community College, finishing up with his 1090 class, which is business mathematics. It's kind of like the college algebra, but more business-based, and there was actually a little bit of calculus in it. Mm-hmm. Then another one is taking her final exam tomorrow in the 1040, I believe it is, the statistics.
Wow. Do you ever teach finance class? Oh, they're horrible. I had to take that in college. My husband helped me with that, but it was the hardest class. Finance 101, then he goes up, and I had to take them, and they were so hard. But once I was done with them, I'm like, yeah, but I had to take tutoring. I didn't know you then, Sabrina, or else I'd be all over you. Help me with this, because yeah, it was so complicated. And it was just like, whatever happened to regular algebra?
Yeah. Every once in a while, I get to teach, or not really. I call it teach because for the most part, when my students come to me, it's because they're not getting what they need from their teacher, or they're not getting along well enough with their teacher to be able to learn from them. Mm-hmm. And that happens. There are clashing personalities, absolutely. So I always call it teaching because for the most part, I do end up teaching concepts sometimes from start to finish. So every once in a while I'll get to teach financial algebra, and kind of, I had one student, and this was years ago in California, who was taking accounting. Uh-huh. And that was the only time I've ever taught accounting, but it was just that one time, and that was a lot of fun as well. And I have another college student she's actually attending Cal State San Marcos out in San Diego, California. And we meet through the Google Meet online, and she's taking calculus, business calculus, actually, which there's a lot of financial formulas in that one as well. I love it. I honestly, it's kind of sad, Kathy Lee. I dream about mathematics sometimes.
Oh my God. You're so funny.
I spend so many hours thinking about it and trying to figure out different ways to teach and furthering my own learning and practicing for the levels that I don't get to teach as often. And there are some mornings when I wake up and was like, well, I seriously just dreaming about the Pythagorean theorem? Like, why? Oh boy.
Can I ask you something? Do you believe math? Do you believe math has to do with being like a musician? You know, being in music? You have to have the steps, yes. Like one, two, three, yes. One, you know what I mean?
Yes, there's a lot of patterns, mathematics in music as well. You know, they say that students who are able to learn how to play the piano are better able to understand some of their mathematics later on in life.
Really?
Yeah, it's been said. It's been said that, and to be honest, the research that I'm recalling right now is quite a bit old. So I wonder if there's a little bit more to the science behind that. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that's there's a lot of math in music as well.
Wow, that's really good. I just wish I knew you when I was in college doing my finances, because it was the hardest. I spent two semesters, I had finances 101, and then the other one, it was hard. It was so hard. And then also, too, when you do finances, isn't it good to the stock market? You got to know numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know numbers.
Yeah, in the financial algebra class that I was able to teach a little bit of last year, there was this whole unit on like how to read the numbers in the stock market, and you know the different formulas that involve, you know, what is your stock value, increase and decrease, gain and loss, all those kinds of things that's all with the stock market. In at least this particular financial algebra course that I was able to kind of help a student along into, there was a good bit about the stock market. Yeah,
because they have to move fast. They have to do those numbers fast and quick, because sometimes it moves quite quickly. Yeah, I mean, I know we mentioned counting and we mentioned bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. We mentioned, you know, so many things, but we do need math numbers and everything. Pretty much nowadays.
Even if you're gonna be a baker, there's mathematics involved there too.
Yeah, those measurements, make sure it's right. Mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff. The measurements.
Yes. Bakers use a lot of fractions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about, this is a little off the chart here, mm-hmm. but what about people in other countries? Their math is just a little bit different. Do you ever notice that, you know what I mean? Like the value of their dollars or, you know?
Yeah, well, one of the big major differences is the way that we measure things. You know, we like to measure things in inches and feet and miles and yards. But I think almost every other country in the world uses the metric system. You know, you get your centimeters and decameters and kilometers. That's probably one of the major differences in our math versus the math from other countries. Mm-hmm. But other than that, the actual calculations and the formulas, with the exception of the measurements from America to the rest of the world, it's actually very similar. Every once in a while, you'll come across like a word or like an operator that is just written a little bit differently or has just a slightly different word to it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
which is it's nice, because if you know, if you ever want to go to another country and live there, at least you know the math will be the same.
Mm-hmm. interesting. Well, I like the fact that you know, I met you at another business that you were working at, and you were like a receptionist. And mm-hmm. I never dreamed that, and when I met you, here you have a master's degree in math. And I think that is outstanding. You can even be a professor if you, you know, decide to not teach. But I think you have more fun. I went by your office or your classroom, and you were teaching in the middle of teaching. You take it so personal pride. I just drop something off, and you're like, I'm dropping something off. You know, I'm just dropping something off. I'm not talking to you. But you had children in there of different ages, and I thought, wow, in how you were one-on-one with them, you know, and really taking the time with them, and they just enjoy you. And then another time I came by, and you had some older students. So you do a mix. And what I was impressed with is that you do Zooming or Skype, whichever the student needs help with, that he can call you and say, hey, I'm stuck with this problem I'm have at school. I got to finish this. Can you help me with this? And you know what I mean? That you have that that door is still open for that student. And I think that is so kind. And he could be in his bedroom. He could be in his bedroom. And he says, oh, I just can't get this figure. And he goes, oh, Sabri, I'll give her a call. See, she'll help me. Mm-hmm. I'll send her a text. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have I had a student in who was from Tennessee. She lives in Tennessee, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was helping her prepare for the ACT and as well as some of her pre-calc. And we use Google Meet, actually, Zoom. For some reason, I just don't have enough bandwidth to get Zoom to work for me. But I do like Google Meet. And I started doing it so much, especially when the whole coronavirus went, you know, just during the crazy pandemic, a lot of people were very uncomfortable with meeting in person. And of course, before I had my classroom, like, we didn't have anywhere to meet. Mm-hmm. That's when I started really trying to figure out how to do it online. And I ended up having to buy a graphic designer's like drawing tablet that I just plug in, and it comes with its own little like stylus pen, and I just plug it into my laptop, and then I'm able to write on the drawing tablet, you know, equations and formulas, and it will project onto the screen so that the student can see it. And that's one of the newer additions to my online teaching.
Do you ever test it out before you have the student use it? You know, I go home and like, okay, I gotta test this out. Honey, I can just see you with your husband and saying, honey, I need to test this new equipment out. Can you see it? Can you see me? Can you see?
Absolutely. I even would, because I sent things to my husband's email and to my personal email just to try to see how things were looking. I tested things out. I even would video chat my own phone just to see how things are going to turn out for the other person. But when this drawing tablet arrived, I was super excited. I cracked that thing open, and I didn't have a virtual session for a few days, but I opened it, I plugged it in, and I started, you know, playing around with it. I signed my name, and I wrote things, and I did a bunch of math problems on it. Just to test it out. It was just, you know, what a time to be alive.
What about
great technology?
What, Sabrina, what about Skype? You ever thought about trying to use Skype?
You know, I haven't used Skype in a long time. Back when it first came out, I had one student who moved, and it ended up being about like a 50-minute drive away. And he was actually, this was back when I was in California, and I was teaching Algebra 1 and Algebra 2, and I had one student who moved kind of almost towards the end, but not quite to the point where we could call it finished for him in my class. And we actually were able to continue through Skype, and of course this is several years ago. I imagine Skype would be a lot better. But I find that Google, I'm gonna do my Google pitch. I'm not sponsored or anything by Google, but I'm one of those loyalists, you know. I use Google for everything, for email, for virtual sessions, the calendar, the little note keep, and the tasks, and all that. I pretty much use Google for everything. And I actually used to use Google Hangouts before they made me available to teachers for use.
Well, Sabrina, hold tight. We're going to go into a commercial break. Hold on.
Hi, my name is Drusilla. I am the founder and owner of Drusilla's Closet. I've created a unique system to organize your pantry and kitchen. The system also works great in various parts of your home and garage. Also, in my closet, I have unique furniture, art, and decor. You can find us on Facebook, Drusilla's Closet, or call at 435-224-9266.
Hey, this is Rocktop Construction. Rocktop is a family-owned business based out of Utah. We specialize in replacing worn or storm-damaged roofs and understand how to assist homeowners with property claims. For reliable service and the best value on a quality and energy-efficient roof, call Rocktop Construction at 801-567-1234. We have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Again, that's 801-567-1234 to find out more about how we can protect your home.
Hidden Home Horse Rescue Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that rescues both wild and domestic horses and other equine that are either unwanted, neglected, abused, or their humans move. Hidden Home helps rehabilitate them to be used in equine therapy to help those in need. We could use your support. You can contact us at 801-910-2698.
Thank you so much for staying with me. I'm sitting here with Sabrina. She is the math tutor. Sabrina, somebody's here asking a question. They're asking, what is three tree? What is a three tree? And then she goes, a three tree isn't nine. It's a small force. Have you heard that before?
I have not. A three tree?
I think it's, I'm trying to read, yeah. Yeah, so she has, what is a three? And it's T-R-C-C-S, or I can't read her writing there. I can't see very much. Yeah, but anyway, make the long story short, you know, doing math is amazing. I admire people who have that skill. You know, that can really love to do numbers. You know, scientists need math. You know, scientists really, you know, they go up there and they can, and oh, and if you want to work for NASA, you better have math. That is difficult. And those numbers there from the distance from the Earth to the moon or things like that. So. Is that math a little bit difficult? I mean, those people are so genius. They get up there, they can just figure out something, how far it is. And, you know, they just do these numbers and estimating, and sometimes they're pretty right on.
You know, I'm still thinking about that three tree question. Because, again, of course, I think about math and I dream about it. Mm-hmm. If possible, it might be a tree three, so like the word tree, T-R-E-E, mm-hmm. and then in parentheses, the number three. Mm-hmm. And I don't know too much about it, but I do know that it's just a giant number, just a number that is so big, it's so enormous, that it's a little bit difficult to write down in terms, and so they call it a tree three. You know, that's all I really know about it. Mm-hmm. Just that it's a giant number, but not quite infinity. Mm-hmm. But just a big large number. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I know about the tree three.
Okay, well maybe she'll get in touch with you soon. Yeah. Or send you a text. Are you on WhatsApp?
You know, I'm not on WhatsApp anymore. I was for a little while, but I ended up being on so many different ones. Like, I ended up being on Band and on GroupMe, and then, of course, you know, the Facebook Messenger. It started to kind of clog up my phone, so WhatsApp was one of the ones that didn't make the cut for my phone.
Okay, let them know, because in case somebody wants to get in touch with you from another country or whatever, or, you know, or in London or wherever they're at. Or Japan, What's your email address?
My email address.
Go slow. Go slow.
I will go slow. So it's still my old name, but it's Math Beast, BEAST, Tutoring, TUTORING, mm-hmm. at gmail.com.
Okay, so you use a Gmail. Okay.
I'm still using Gmail, yeah.
Okay. And repeat that one more time.
Okay, that's Math Beast Tutoring. Tutoring is spelled TUTORING at gmail.com.
So it's Math, MATH Beast, mm-hmm. you know, BEAST, Tutoring, mm-hmm. TUTORING at gmail.com. That is so good. Yes. And what about your website?
My website is still the same, mathbeasttutoring.com. Still, the name changes a little bit on the newer side, so there are still things that'll say Math Beast Tutoring. I'm in the process of getting everything changed over to the Math Beast E-Cubed. But for a while, I'll be operating under both.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good to know. And so they can get in touch with you and then develop and see if their children or grandchildren, niece, nephew, friend, many have issues, have problems with math. And I like that the fact that your classes are not huge, you know, they're...
Yes, they're very small.
How small are they?
I have a limited number of students that I can focus on all at once. I tend to cap out right around 8 students, but you know, those are specific to... for my small group classes.
When you say 8 students, is that 8 students a week, 8 students a day?
Oh no, that's 8 students at a time. I actually meet with 25 to 28 students a week,
wow.
individually.
It's like a huge class, and they ages variety. You have a variety of ages.
Yes, my youngest students right now, I have 4 kindergartners that. I'm sorry, not kindergarten. 4 second graders. One I meet with individually, and then I have a group of 3 second graders that come twice a week. Then the rest of them are about grades 5 and above. I even have an adult student that's preparing for her GED that I meet with virtually. Uh-huh.
That's so nice that the older students, you know, they have the little pride. You know, I don't go call her, but mm-hmm. you know, but I'm grateful that they call you. And what about those who are trying to get into the military? Do they contact you as well?
Yes, sometimes. And my sister is in the U.S. Marines, and so she called me. She was preparing to take the test. I believe the test is the ASVAB test. So as my sister was preparing to take that test, she kind of chatted. She chatted with me, and we got on a virtual session just a few times. She's really smart. She's really good at math, anyway. And then I had another student who just had a few quick things that he wanted to brush up on before he was ready to take that test as well.
Mm-hmm. Why do you call it the name the Beast?
So a beast, if you look it up in the Urban Dictionary, a beast is just a scrappy person who just does not take no for an answer. They're determined, they're dedicated, they're resilient and fearless, and they pretty much become excellent at anything they do. And whether that's through natural talent or hard work, it doesn't matter. If once you become good at something, you're just a beast.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any new things coming up in the new year?
I do, actually. Coming in January, I am beginning another game tournament for my current students, and any new students who come on in January will be automatically entered into the game tournament. Wow. Basically, what that is every student during their session will have a chance to do their two games that are in the tournament. They'll get a chance to participate, And they're all just kind of roll the dice or draw the card. Basically, how lucky are you? There's not a whole lot of skill in the game tournament, but of course there's math involved. Uh-huh. So it'll be all included. I'll have my second graders play it, and I'll have my college students enter as well. And it's just kind of a scoreboard. You put your score on the scoreboard, and at the end of the month, we'll take the person with the highest score, you know, the first, you know, first, second, and third place. And they'll get, you know, a little bit of a prize. Uh-huh. I think this time around, I'm going to maybe take suggestions for what the prize might be. And then I'm also beginning to choose dates and times during the week for a group study session. And that will just be for students who need a quiet place to do their work, their math homework specifically, who maybe don't have internet in their home or need to borrow a calculator or just, you know, would like a little bit of coaching and supervision while they're working on their homework. Mm-hmm. And it'll be open. You bring your own work. And we'll start with kind of a warm-up just to get our brains in the mood. And then everybody starts working on their own work. And then, of course, I will be here to answer questions and give tips as needed.
What would you recommend for students who are prepared to take a standardized test such as the ACT or the SAT?
Oh, yeah. So the ACT and the SAT, mostly you'll have 10th graders and 11th graders that are preparing to take that test, and occasionally some 12th graders. Mm-hmm. My recommendation is don't overstudy, overthink, or overstress. The ACT is kind of designed to gauge your current knowledge. My other one is practice using your calculator. I recommend the TI-83 or the 84. Those are calculators by Texas Instrument. Those are my favorite. And I feel so strongly about them that if you do not have an 83 or an 84, borrow one. Mm-hmm. And learn how to use it, because there are functions in those calculators that you can literally push a few buttons, as long as you know which buttons to push, and have the answer immediately for the test. So I definitely recommend be super comfortable with your calculator. And then, because on the ACT, I'm not sure about the SAT, but the ACT, you have 60 questions and only 60 minutes to complete them. So there are certain formulas that while you may be super great at working through that formula to find the answer, it takes time. And the more writing you have to do, the more figuring and computing and chugging through a formula that you have to do, the more opportunities you get to miss a negative or add when you should have subtracted. And unfortunately, for tests like the ACT, it's multiple choice. And if you choose the wrong one, then that's it, wrong. They don't actually look at any of the work that you did, which was probably correct, in order to get you to the right answer. So I definitely recommend being comfortable with your calculator, mm-hmm. so that you can ensure accuracy. Wow. while you're presenting the correct method of problem solving.
What is, tell us, what is it you're teaching, you know, that you're most proud of? Tell me something else. You're so, I guess I think I'm asking the wrong question here. You're probably like,
you're fine. I think you're asking me about like my favorite teaching technique or the one I'm most proud of.
Yes.
One of my favorite subjects to teach is algebra. Whether that's pre-algebra, algebra one, or algebra two, it really is the backbone. And the backbone of algebra is solving equations. That's like you have a bunch of numbers in there. You have one variable. Usually it's the letter X. Sometimes it's Y, but usually it's X. And you have to do a whole bunch of stuff to those numbers, move things to the other side of the equal sign, in order to get the X all by itself. So I came up with this method of teaching called capture the variable. Uh-huh. And we used something that I've been calling a table of inverses and strengths. And basically what that does is it sets up all the operations, your plus, minus, multiply, divide, onto a table with its inverse. And I present all the operations as weapons. So if you're using a weapon of plus, well, the inverse, the opposite of plus is minus. So that's how you defeat somebody using a weapon of plus. Mm-hmm. And so created this capture the variable method, because a lot of my students are really into gaming and, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and games on the computer where they have to go through and kind of find the treasure or find the princess or what have you. And there's always bad guys that you have to defeat or guards that you have to get through to get to the princess. So I created kind of a method of solving equations that really plays into this, you know, defeat the guards and capturing the treasure method. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite things to teach. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty proud of it too.
That is, sounds so cool. So tell me the difference, you know, Sabrina, tell me the difference between the math beast EQ, different from, like, for example, the Huntington Learning Center. You know, what makes your school so different and unique?
Oh, sure. So learning centers like Huntington, Kuban, Mathnasium, Sylvan, they're all really, really good. What makes MathBeast E-Cubed different is that we really kind of customize to each individual student. Whenever I take on a new student, not only do I meet with them personally, but I create a plan that's completely customized to them. I'll create curriculum, or I'll research on different, you know, existing curriculums that I think will be best to not only their skills, but also their learning style and their, you know, a little bit their personalities as well. You know, big places that are franchised, like Huntington or Mathnasium, while they do kind of the whole test, evaluate, then they prescribe, it really is all the same curriculum that they give to each individual student. Mm-hmm. Plus, I like to focus on teaching a student as an individual, as one-on-one. At places like, you know, those other ones, you typically have, you know, a ratio of one teacher to three or four students. And a lot of times that teacher, that instructor, is like a high school student who is great at math and really only knows one method of teaching, which happens to be the method that they were taught to teach in, based off of whatever franchise they're currently working for. Because I've been doing this for so long, I know so many different ways to teach a student that if one method isn't working for them, it's very easy for me to choose a different method and teach them differently. So it's really a more expert coaching, just elite student to instructor experience.
Okay, I got a silly question, Sabrina. Mm-hmm. Do you ever let your students use the calculators?
Yes, I do, actually.
What?
Okay. I do, and I know I sometimes, depending on the age of the student, I typically will introduce the calculator to a student in between 6th and 7th grade. Mm-hmm. And here's why. I have a lot of parents. I don't want my students using a calculator because they're not going to be as good at math. While if a student is overly dependent on a calculator, that may be true. However, right around 6th, 7th grade, the concepts of the mathematics that a student will begin to learn will kind of shift into being more about the process rather than the basic arithmetic calculation. You know, 6 and younger, they really kind of drill you hard on the calculations and doing it all by hand. But once we're in 7th grade, those basic functions, that's, I like to call it grunt work. And at the point of 7th grade, I tell students that they have earned their assistant, which is the calculator, who will take on some of the grunt work, the adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing, so that they can then focus on the process, the problem-solving process, and functioning through the different formulas that they need to work through to attain the correct answer. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have an odd question. What is your opinion of the Common Core?
The Common Core, a lot of parents are were super upset about it. So in theory, the Common Core kind of hoped to teach basic arithmetic in a very algebraic way. And in theory, it's a great thing to get elementary school students, elementary age students, into the habit of thinking algebraically. Unfortunately, in the execution and the transition into teaching in the Common Core style versus for a student in fifth grade who's used to this traditional method, just to kind of cold turkey it and transition and just get rid of that other method that they were learning was probably not the best idea. It sort of ended up really driving a wedge between students and parents and made extra math-centered frustration, which is in general just, you know, damaging to students. Because, you know, you never want to have that emotion when it comes to something that really can be quite rewarding and very beautiful, the mathematics.
This is exciting. I learn so much about math. I think I just want to take a math class and sharpen my math skills up fun. And then I'll become, where would somebody start, you know, if they want to sharpen up their math skills? You make them take a test and see where they're at?
I don't usually like to give students a test. I will, however, I'll sit across the table from them and I'll ask them, you know, some math questions. I always pull out some whiteboards and some, you know, dry erase markers. I'll put a couple of math questions in front of them that will help me to kind of gauge what their level is. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, I adjust the questions I ask depending on the student's age. But then after that, what I really look for is, you know, what was your attitude on answering these questions? You know, did you do the kind of the basic arithmetic ones first, or did you go to the ones that seem more algebraic? And it really helps me to kind of figure out what their learning style is, their attitude towards mathematics, as well as, you know, some of their basic skills and challenges. And after that, you know, of course I'll chat with a student about, you know, what their interests are. Just helps me get to know and gauge what the student might benefit from. After that, we sit down and we start working on the program. And if we come across a topic that they're like, oh, I'm already super good at this, excellent. Mm-hmm. Cross that off the list. You're done with that. Look at you go. Mm-hmm. You're a beast. Let's move on.
That's right.
I mean, it's really always at the student's own pace.
This is so fun. What does your family think about you doing this? This is more personal, but starting this, your husband, you know, you got this, everybody out there, her room is darling, and she's got all these cool stuff on the board, on the walls, and the kids have fun, and I can tell that they really, really enjoy coming to get tutored, you know, and maybe they do it on purpose. Mom, I need to go to see Sabrina. I don't understand this math, but really, I know it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to get sharpened up a little bit. And
for sure.
Yeah. You ever have a teacher that teaches one way? Yeah, there's a lot of teachers that teach one way, like in the elementary schools and stuff. And I know you have several ways of teaching. And I think you find the niche in that child or, you know, young adult to where their weaknesses are. I bet you can just see it and pencil that in and hey, let's work on this.
Yes. Typically I'm able to see it right away. But I never like to point it out to the student. I'll see it. And then of course I'll very gently move toward it and ask questions about it. And always in an encouraging, validating way, we kind of work on certain topics where students are a little bit more challenged. Because, you know, the word I always hate to hear, and sometimes it comes up, is the word scary when it comes to mathematics, especially like, you know, you're in 9th to 10th grade, you come across an equation, and it's long, and it's messy, and it is just menacing, to be perfectly honest. Like, you kind of just want to walk away from it and be like, oh man, that looks terrible. Mm-hmm. But I hear students use the word scary, and I'm like, oh, it hurts my heart. No, it's like, no, it's not scary. It's, you know, it's messy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But you and me together, we'll get in there. We'll work on it. We'll write it down nice and big so we can see everything that's going on. And little by little, chunk by chunk, piece by piece, we'll tackle it. We'll take it apart, and we'll make it work for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sabrina, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And
thank you.
It was really, really fun. And I would really like to, because I'll have you back again, you know, next year, the first quarter, and see how you're doing, and especially with your new name. But I just want to thank you so very much for coming on. And
yes, of course, my pleasure.
Hopefully 2021 is going to be a fantastic year, so for you.
I hope so. Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.
You're welcome. And thank you for everyone for listening to the Kathy Lee Parker Show. And you want to follow me even more, just go to thekathyleeparkershow.com. And thank you so much, and have a great evening. Bye-bye.